What a wonderful song, covered by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Did you think about it when you're singing it, what it's done for us and the forgiveness it's brought and the promise of eternal life and the promise of a glorious heaven? Amen. Covered by the blood of the Lamb. Wonderful thing. I want to take just a few minutes this morning to remind you that if you hadn't took time this morning to thank God for what He's blessed you with, it's time. Have you ever thought about that? It's time to thank God for what He's done in our life. I guarantee you, if everybody sat here, if you hadn't got anything else to look at, just look outside at a beautiful, wonderful, and glorious day and know that God's blessed us with this. And through that blood of the Lamb, He's given us a promise and a hope of eternal life. I just want to praise Him this morning and thank Him for what He's done in my life and the promise that He's given. I haven't received it all yet, but He's faithful and true to deliver what He's promised. Amen. If y'all would, just stand to your feet just a few minutes. Let's give the Lord a big hand of applause. Let Him know we appreciate Him this morning. Yeah, glory be to God, you know. Glory be to God this morning. Let Him know we appreciate Him. We just sometimes get so silent in our appreciation and love of God that we just forget to express it, don't we? Now, He knows our hearts, but I think it's good to lift our hands up and praise Him and give Him thanks for praise, honor, and glory for all He's done in our life and all the promises He's given. Y'all be seated anytime. I want to share with you a few verses of Scripture this morning. Come in this morning with Easter on my mind, you know, thinking about the resurrection of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, isn't that a promise that we've got to look forward to, that not only He's going to come back, but we're going to come forth, you know, and we're going to experience this resurrection. And I want to try to coach everybody up a little bit in the Word of God this morning, that we set a precedent, that we set an example this week, that people might see the resurrection. I mean, spiritually see the resurrection and see it coming and taking place. And I think about what example we have and what a precedent we set as sons and daughters of God as we go through the week. I began thinking about the walk Jesus made toward the cross. Y'all ever thought about the walk He made toward the cross? He knew where He was headed. He knew what was going to happen. And although I know it had to be at times bringing a hardship on Him, He just continued in doing the work of God. And during this walk, He never faltered. He never failed. He set the example that we're to follow, that we're to move toward the cross of Calvary. Amen. Now, when we start into Scripture this morning, I want you to think about your walk with God and what example you're going to set for your family, your friends, your neighbors, your work people, whoever you're around this week, that they might physically or spiritually see the resurrection of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When we head into Easter, I think about resurrection. You know, it gets me excited to know that one day, if you're saved by the grace of God, we're all going to be in heaven together. He's coming after us. Amen. He's coming to call us, and I get just thinking about that, and I just thank God for that promise He's given us. This is not the best I've got. I've got better coming. I guarantee you, got better coming. Let's look at the book of St. Luke this morning, if you would, in chapter 6. If you'll turn there with me, St. Luke chapter 6. I want to start in verse 39. I want to talk about spiritual vision that we need as sons and daughters of God. You need a vision. I'm talking about spiritual vision that we can see the promises of God revealed, although they haven't yet happened, that we see this resurrection, that we see this power of God of deliverance from this ungodliness of this world that God has promised to each and every one of us as His sons and daughters. So when we start talking about physical sight, we start talking about a spiritual vision, I want us to think about that. That's what people see in us. So in St. Luke chapter 6 and verse 39, and He spake a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? Now you think about the question that Jesus is asking. He said, can the blind lead the blind? And so He gives us the indication that we need to have this spiritual vision. We need to have our eyes set and focused on God, that if we're going to lead somebody, we need to know first where we're going and what's going to happen to us. So when we start having a revelation of God about the homecoming that we're going to have one day at the second coming of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I want them to see that in me. I want them to see the excitement. I want them to know that I know for sure that this is going to happen and take place and coming in my life. I've got a promise of God this morning. Amen. I've got his promise. I read it all during the week about his promise, how he's coming back. He's taking me out. And I get excited thinking about that. Well, he's talking about leadership this morning. You know, that's our role. That's why God has left us in where the position we're in today, that we show a leadership position to our friends and family and people all around us, that they see the power of God revealed through us. Amen. I'm telling you, I believe that if we're walking in a spiritual realm that God would have us in, they could see the resurrection through us, don't you? Now, we want to talk very much about leadership. I want to talk very much about the power of God demonstrated in this church, lifting us up and putting us in a position this week that we might influence somebody to come down here next week. We might influence somebody to show up over to the cemetery next Sunday morning for the resurrection service that we're going to have. Y'all notice I said resurrection service? I'm in hopes. Praise God, wouldn't it be something? Let's be gathered up over there and the Lord come after us. Wouldn't that be a thought? Have you ever thought about that could possibly happen? I mean, that's all in the promise of God that it's going to happen. We don't know the date, the hour, the time. And I got thinking, what if we was to meet up over there 7 o'clock next Sunday morning and before we ever got started, the Lord just took us out? And all the loved ones with us, we'd physically see the resurrection, see them come forth from the grave, those that are asleep in Christ, and then we'd join them in the air. I ain't going to miss it. God willing, I'm going to try to be there because I don't know what's going to happen. Down in verse 43, it talks about, for a good tree bringeth forth not corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known of his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. Now, this is an illustration that's given to us by God about knowing people by their fruit. Amen. Now, you know, we make a lot of decisions and think about a lot of things during church, but when we get basically down to the Word of God, it says that we're known by our fruits. The way we contend, the way we take care of our life, the way we do our business, the way we worship and praise an Almighty God, it said every tree is known by his own fruit. So I'm not so much worried about your fruit as I'm worried about my fruit. You know, it's everybody, an individual, that we serve God in the way that he'd have us to serve him. And we see so many times, I hear, you know, when I get out visiting, it's hard for me to find a lost person. Y'all had any trouble with that? Everybody go to, every house you go up to, everybody you talk to, oh, I'm saved. Oh, I'm saved. Well, their fruit don't show it. Now, I'm reading to you straight from the Word of God about we're known by our fruit. Amen. Now, what they're saying and what they're speaking don't fit with what they're doing and the way they're living. Now, I'm going to tell you something. We need to set an example not only by what we say, but also the way we do and the way we live our lives. It said a tree is known by its fruit. If we come and pick fruit off of your tree, is it going to be sweet or sour? I'm afraid some of them got a lot of sour fruit or none at all. And it talks about that we don't, of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. So you can't get good from evil. You just can't get good from evil. It's not there. It's not available. In verse 45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil, for of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. And so I'm not making any judgments on anybody, but I'm going to tell you, according to the Word of God, we're known by the fruit we bear. And all these people that are telling me I'm saved, I'm good, I'm all right with God, I've got a problem with some of that. I'm not their judge, God is. But when he tells me to look at their fruits, to tell what kind of tree it is. And let me warn you about your tree. If the roots of your tree don't go all the way back to the Lord Jesus Christ, then you've got a problem also. It has to go back to the roots of Jesus. In verse 46, and why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Now, you know, he's asking questions to these people. There's a great audience there. There's a good number of people gathered around, and he's asking questions. You know, can the blind lead the blind? That's the question he asks. And he says, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? And so we're having indication that through these questions he's asking, he's bringing them to acknowledge where they stand with him. He said, you call me Lord, Lord, but you're not doing what I say. He said, why do you do that? If you're going to call me Lord, let me be Lord. Now, that's a point we need to make. If Jesus is going to be Lord of your life, he needs to be Lord every day. Every day. Not just every now and then, but every day. Not just on Sunday. Not just on a preparation day, but every day. He needs to be the Lord of your life. And verse 47, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my saying and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. Now, we're getting indications now from the Word of God that he knows who he is and who's not a child of God. He knows it well. There's a lot of pretense going on. There's a lot of pretenders going around. But I'm going to tell you that we can tell and know for sure if we're a child of God or not. We have Scripture backing that. I'm glad that I'm under the blood this morning. I'm glad that his blood has been applied to my sins, that they be covered from God. And I'm glad that I can stand and tell you of a surety that I know I'm saved by the grace of God. It's his grace that saved me. And you ought to see some of the fruits from it. He said, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my saying and doeth them, I will show you whom he is like. Now listen to this illustration he uses. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. Now, here's where we begin picking this up. I want you to know this man digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. So it's going to take some rock under us if we're going to stand during the floods and the trials and the tribulations that come in this life. I don't come this morning to tell you you're going to have a perfect, easy life. I'm going to tell you there's going to be floods, there's going to be storms, there's going to be tribulation and trial in your life because it's written by the Word of God, you know, a man born of woman, few days and full of trouble. But we begin expecting to know if we built on the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it's going to stand. Folks that we lose out of church, I don't believe is on the rock. Amen. You just think about it. You know, they're here for a while. The first flood that comes, they wash away. I wonder if there's ever on the rock. I wonder if they dig deep and got down on the rock, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and built that foundation. Now, I'm not talking about people that God's moved to another church. I'm talking about people that quit. Amen, quit. That's all I'd say for them. And you can't ever find one that quit either. You don't ever find anybody that quit church. They've run them off. Is that the truth? Y'all, they've run me off. I don't know if we've ever run anybody off, but we've had several quit, hadn't we? But to hear them, they won't acknowledge it. They won't admit it. They won't just stand up out, you know. I tell you what, if I ever quit church and y'all come ask me, I'm going to be just bold enough to say, yeah, I quit. You know why they don't say that? Because they're scared of the wrath of God that's going to fall on them. But if they're lying, he's going to fall on them anyway, right? People just quit. And I wonder if there's on the rock. I wonder where their roots went back to. If that root went back to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it nourishes us for a lifetime. It don't go away. It nourishes us forever and ever and ever. As long as we're in this life. I mean, that's the way it is. People don't want to hear these things, but you know, God speaks the truth. And this morning, I want to speak the truth. We need to be in very much in prayer about these folks that maybe their roots didn't go deep enough. Maybe their foundation wasn't on the same rock that mine's on. Verse 49, but he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of the house was great. And so we saw the house fall because it wasn't on the rock. Now, notice the flood came on both of them. It came on the one with a good foundation. It came on the one with a bad foundation. There's floods coming in life, and it depends on where our foundation is laid, how deep we dug down, and if it goes back to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, whether you're going to stand or not. I'm preaching to a group of people this morning that I hope are still found faithful when the Lord returns. I'm talking about when He returns, that we present this church unspotted and blameless before Him. Through the blood of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, He's cleaned us up, and we still have the faith when He returns, that we're looking for Him. We know God's Word is true. We know it's going to happen. And we haven't fell by the wayside. We hadn't been washed away by some flood because our roots and our foundation wasn't on the rock, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Chapter 7 and verse 1, now when He had ended all these sayings in the audience of the people, He entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion's servant who was dear unto Him was sick and ready to die. Now I want you to notice in verse 2, a certain centurion's servant who was dear unto Him was sick and ready to die. Y'all pick that up, and ready to die. If I came through and took a poll this morning, how many of y'all would be ready to die? You know, if you've got Jesus Christ for a hope, then you can be ready to die. I picked this up last night when I read through this. It describes this servant. It describes this servant, and it said he was sick and he was ready to die. And I got thinking about how wonderful it'd be if everybody you talked to could profess Jesus Christ and say, I'm ready to die. This servant was prepared. And God's going to spare him from the death. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, he besought him instantly, saying he was worthy for whom he should do this. Notice, the elders of the Jews said he's worthy. Amen. They're saying he's worthy. We're going to get over a little bit in a few minutes, and this man's not going to count himself worthy. They're looking at him and they say he's worthy. He's looking at himself and say, I'm not worthy. Now you keep that in mind as we go through. And for he loveth our nation and he hath built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. So he said, I'm really not worthy of this. Now, that's the mentality and attitude that everybody ought to have in this house today, that we're not worthy of what God has blessed us with. You're not worthy of what God has given you by His Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross of Calvary, but He loved you enough that He counted you worthy. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come to thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I am also a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to the other, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned him about, and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Jesus recognized his faith. Now, if you're living through this life and think Jesus don't take account of your faith, you've made a mistake. He recognized this man's faith. Although he had some things and issues, he had faith in God. He had faith in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Jesus turns around and makes it recognition of his faith. And I got thinking about, if Jesus was the testifier of our faith today, what would he have to say? I'm hoping he'd have a lot to say. Oh, that's a faithful crowd down there. That's a faithful person. I want to tell you about their faith. He said, I hadn't found this kind of faith. No, not in Israel. In his own people, he hadn't found so great a faith. And so we need to think about the faith that we show God. How do you show faith? Would anybody here know how you show your faith? I'm not going to answer it. Brother Jim knows. I believe y'all know. How you show your faith? Being faithful. What God called you to do. Pretty simple. I want to cover about two or three more verses. I read through this last night and earlier one time in a week about Jesus dealing with the death. And I got thinking about all during this time, people that's lost loved ones through the years and how the presentation was made. In verse 11, and it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him and much people. Now when he came nigh the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, weep not. And he came and touched the briar, and they that bare him stood still, and he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. Arise. See, we know Jesus is the resurrection. Martha, he explained that to her. He said, I am the resurrection. And I think about this preview of the resurrection we've got to come. In verse 15, and he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. Now, if you've never got this picture before, anybody in this house that's lost a child, I believe Jesus is going to deliver it back to you. You just think about what he did for this mother. He stopped that briar. He raised that young man from the dead and presented him back to his mother. I believe we have a preview of the resurrection, how many of us will be, have people presented back to us that we've lost, loved ones, whether it's a child or whether it's a spouse or whether it's a brother or sister. And think about Jesus' effort that day to restore that child to its rightful mother. I believe we'll experience the same thing. Can you imagine Jesus walking through just in tow, little children just in tow, and say, here's your child back, and here's your child back, and here's your spouse back. We've got promise of God for so many things that we sometimes can't realize because his ways are higher than ours, his power is greater than ours. But so many things, I think we'll just be excited each and every day when we go through the process of heaven. I don't think it'll ever be a boring day. There'll be something new, something we'll experience. Something will happen that'll just keep us uplifted and excited and happy all the time. That's what I've got to deliver this morning. Appreciate all of you coming this way. If you can, influence somebody to come with you next week. There's a great power in the resurrection. There'll be a power in this church next Sunday morning greater than what's here now. Because I believe God blesses us on that day when we celebrate the resurrection of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I believe he'll anoint us with the power from on high. That if you bring somebody, it may touch them. Amen. It may touch them. That may be their time that they get things right with God. That they could say, I'm sick and I'm ready to die. Amen. So y'all try to influence somebody. Try to have some leadership role this week. Say you need to come down to the house of God next week. Something special is taking place. There's something special that takes place every time you come to the house of God in the right attitude and the right mentality. You'll meet the Lord. Amen. Amen. Everybody stand. We're going to be dismissed. They mentioned earlier about going over to the Methodist Church tonight and going through some of the songs we're going to be singing next Sunday morning. I'm going to try to encourage everybody that can go over with us tonight. I'd like to see the whole house go over there. That'd be a good thing, wouldn't it? You might think, well, I'm not going to sing. Well, I don't care if you sing or not. Go with us. Support us. Let's put a little effort in this sunrise service. I think we got a little bit slack in it last year or year before last, and I noticed the difference. So if we're going to do it, let's do it heartily, as unto the Lord, not unto man. Amen. So everybody that can, show up here tonight about 7 o'clock. We'll try to go over to Methodist Church. We'll practice these songs. We're going to have a lot of people coming from the community, and I'd like them to say, well, that was good singing, wouldn't y'all? Amen. And then y'all pray for me, and I hope they also go away and say, that was good preaching, because it's my Sunday up to preach. We rotate that, so y'all pray about that, okay? Pray about it all week. Let's have a good service next week. All right, any word, anything before we dismiss? Anyone? Y'all content to go? Good to have the Terrys back with us. Two of them back with us. Been gone for a while, and good to have them back with us this morning. And like I said, if you've been out sick and got back, thank God you've made it. It's kind of like he said, it's a revolving door. You're out, you're back, and some about. So just keep praying. We'll get rid of this about July, maybe. I hope. Don't y'all hope, Brother Harold? God bless you. Brother Ray, would you?